Welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show. Jay Binkley, JT Noah producing the operation. We'll talk about the defense here in a minute. But beforehand, I do want to hear some Mitch. I do want to hear some Mitch Holtis. His touchdown Kansas City with Mitch Holtis.
It's time for Touchdown Kansas City.
Slings it to McKinnon at the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown! Batman loves this stadium!
A highlight-filled summary of the game with the voice of Chiefs Kingdom, Mitch Holtis.
Touchdown! Kansas City!
That's right, Touchdown Kansas City, brought to you by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Tully time. That's what I'm talking about. Well, unfortunately, Detroit got things started first. Remember, they go forward on a fake punt. They pick up the fake punt. They move down the field. Really, it was an impressive drive from Detroit. And you're sitting there going, okay, how much do you miss Chris Jones now and a Minnehue? It was an 8-minute, 4-second drive. And Amon-Ra St. Brown gets the Lions up 7-0.
14th play of the drive for the Lions, including a fake punt. They have 3rd down and 6 here at the Kansas City 9-yard line. No score, 2:55 in a fast-moving first quarter. Goff with a long count out of the shotgun, looking tall in the pocket. Now zings it over the middle, catch is made, and a touchdown for the Lions. Over the middle, the catch made on a 9-yard touchdown reception to Amon-Ra St. Brown. Last year, now his 12th career touchdown on a crossing pattern, and the Lions use the fake punt from deep in their own territory and convert it into a touchdown.
And that was the catalyst to get that fake punt. It was a crazy move there by Dan Campbell, a move that he should make. That's how you beat this team on the road at Arrowhead Stadium. But that was an impressive drive. 14 plays, 91 yards. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 9-yard touchdown pass from Jared Goff. 2:46 left in the first quarter, moving Detroit up 7-0. Oh, what would have happened had they stopped that fake punt? Who knows? But now it's already time for the Tully touchdown of the game. Time to raise a glass with Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Tully time. And that goes to the Chiefs tying the game up with one rookie for this team, Rashee Rice.
Chiefs 3 of 4 on 3rd down. They have 3rd down and goal here at the 1-yard line. Mahomes out, throws it left, caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! Rashee Rice with the touchdown! And the Chiefs have their first TD of the year. Mahomes with a pocket, patient, and finds the SMU rookie.
Rashee Rice's first touchdown ever in the National Football League came at a good time. It's an impressive drive for the Chiefs. 13 plays, 75 yards, taking almost 6 minutes off the clock, 5:56 to be exact. That's with 11:50 left in the second quarter. But the Chiefs weren't done, as they would go up 14-7 with this.
First down and goal to go at the 4. Chiefs have 1 timeout left, 37 seconds, game tied at 7. Mahomes takes the snap. Set edge at near side, caught! Touchdown, Kansas City! Wichita, Kansas, tastes the sweet nectar of the end zone. Blake Bell, only his 2nd career touchdown, and the Chiefs take the lead at 13-7.
6 plays, 82 yards, 1:28 off the clock as the Chiefs move down the field with alacrity, just going downfield. Marquez Valdes-Scantlin, a great catch, and then Justin Watson, a nice catch as well. They put the Chiefs up 14-7. 34 seconds left in the half. That would have been the halftime score. That would be the halftime score, 14-7 Chiefs. They would get the ball back first in the second half and couldn't materialize on it. That was a chance to go up 14 points right there. But then, really a back-breaking play, really the play of the game for the Detroit Lions, when Brian Branch, the rookie from Alabama, did this.
3rd down and 6 for the Chiefs at their own 46. 14-7 Kansas City. 4 minutes deep into the third quarter. Wide blitz coming, and a pass is going to be intercepted off a deflection off Tony. Coming back to the near side, this is going to be a pick six for the Detroit Lions. A pick six by rookie Brian Branch of Alabama off the arm of Kadarius Tony. And the Lions can tie the game with a defensive score.
And they tied it up with that defensive score. 10:54 left in the third quarter there. 3 plays, 4 yards. Only Brian Branch, the rookie from Alabama, played safety, nickel, linebacker, did everything for Alabama, plays nickel for Detroit. But Kadarius Toney, ball was right in his hands. And it bounced off the hands and goes straight to Brian Branch. And that really, That's the difference in the game, right? There were several things that were the difference, but that play right there, that's the backbreaker you hate to see. That tied the game up, but then Harrison Butker would put the Chiefs up in this game at 2:10 left in the third quarter.
35-yard attempt now for Harrison Butker to try to regain the lead for the Chiefs. Left to right as we view it, high above GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. Good snap, good placement, and the kick is good by Harrison Butker.
There you go, 8 plays, 73-yard drive, taking 3:34 off the clock. That field goal with 2:10 left in the third quarter put the Chiefs up 17-14 at this point. But then 8 plays, 47 yards into the fourth quarter, 12:11 of the fourth quarter, to be exact, Harrison Butker would get number two.
They're going to bring out Butker. Chiefs lead 17-14. Butker just hit a 35-yard field goal. This will be at the 29-yard line near hash, a 39-yard attempt. This time from the right to the left as we view it. Butker waiting for the go sign. Placement is down, swings the right leg through. The kick is up, and he gets it. And the Chiefs lead 20-14.
8 play, 47-yard drive. As I mentioned, 3:55 off the clock. That put the Chiefs up 20-14. It was just going to take a touchdown from Detroit. Okay, we've seen this happen before, and the Chiefs march it right down. But it was David Montgomery putting the final score of this game for Detroit.
Second down, 5 for Detroit at the Kansas City 9. 7:15 to go in the game. Chiefs lead by 6. Montgomery, hands on his knees, as a single back. He'll get it on a right side run inside the 5, inside to the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. David Montgomery, an 8-yard hard run. And the Lions can take the lead. A big time block by Sam Laporta, the rookie out of Iowa, on a wham block on Nick Bolton.
And their rookies played well. There was Brian Branch with that 50-yard interception return. Laporta with a great block. He was a rookie tight end for Detroit Lions. It's doing something in the draft, and they did a nice job in the draft. 7:06 in the fourth quarter, 9 plays, 75 yards, taking 5:05 off the clock. And that would be the final score, 21-20, Detroit over Kansas City. That's still tough to say, JT. That is still tough to say, 21-20, because this is one of those you hate to watch game film on. I usually like leaving here and going back and watching the game, which I will. I'll watch it till the wee hours of the morning just to watch it again. But usually it's a different result. I don't mind when they fall down because I know they're going to come back and win. Tonight, I know they're not, and it's going to be tough to watch, especially that Kadarius Toney, the ball that bounced out of his hand and went to Branch for a 50-yard interception return, and that fake punt will get me going too.
Yeah, I've been surfing the Twitter web while you've been talking and doing your thing on the other side, and there's one play that everyone actually is like keying in on Tony than you would think. And it's not the pick six. It's the one that he dropped on the final drive.
No, that was a huge one. That was the second one. There was some confusion there with the wide receiver and getting blocked kind of out of his way. The third drop was huge.
The third one was huge because if he catches that, not only is he wide open, he's going to get into field goal range, and there's 2 minutes and about 55 seconds left on the clock. You can run that down if you're the Chiefs and kick a game-winning field goal there. So that's where everyone's talking about. And so people are actually like keying in on that one more than the pick six. And that one could have really turned around like his night in a sense. He makes that catch. He's like, okay, hey, you made the great catch. Yeah, you had that one go through your hands, but all's forgotten because you made up for it with this wide-open catch and got us into field goal range to win the game.
The one thing that happens, though, is you've got to get the trust of the locker room. They have to be able to trust you to make the plays. This is the NFL. You know, this isn't, you know, Pop Warner football. This is the top level of football out there. And when you're dropping passes in your hands, you can't. You can't do that. You can't look at your teammates in the face and say, hey, man, I'm doing my best. There's just certain things you can do. And I'll tell you this. You got to catch the football in Andy Reid's offense. Because you don't catch the football all the time. You start losing playing time because you lose the trust, and you've got to earn the trust, not only of your quarterback, but your head coach going forward. So hopefully, and they kept going to him, which is fine, because I remember Kareem Hunt fumbling that one game where New England was lowering the banner, but they kept going to him. And then all of a sudden, he had a great game. you know, despite the fumble, like, hey, we're going to rely on you. So they did that with Kadarius. Hey, you made a mistake. We're going to keep going to you. But when they keep going to you, you got to make plays.
Exactly. You got to make those catches. You got to make the plays. And it wasn't Tony's night. It happens. And I get it that he's a wide receiver. He's a professional player, and he's got to make those plays because he's getting paid like it. But there's also that thing in the back of my head, like, hey, he has not had a single snap since training, the day one of training camp when he injured himself. This is his first time getting that speed going because he was injured throughout the whole offseason. So there's that going, I guess, in the back of my head, like, hey, he's been injured all offseason. This is his first real go at it. Yeah, he's had a couple practices before the game, but that's about it. And so I think it's way different when you're playing in real-time speed.
This is the world champs. They're going to get everybody's best effort. They just are. When you play the Kansas City Chiefs, you know it's time to strap them up because they play the toughest games. Again, 17 games, one-score games in the National Football League. First downs in this game, Detroit had 19. The Chiefs had 17 in this game. Passing first downs, Detroit 11, Kansas City 10. It was a clean first half. Chiefs had one penalty. Detroit didn't have any. Detroit ended up with four penalties for 63 yards. The Chiefs three for 25. Time of possession went towards Detroit, 32-38 to 27-22 for the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs win the, they tied as far as the turnovers are concerned. That one turnover is obviously Kadarius Toney will be the one magnified to drop pass at the end. But again, you've got to at some point earn the trust of your team in the guy that they trust most, Travis Kelce. They didn't get to get him on the field. That was really noticeable in this game.
Yeah, and I think that could take, if Kelce's in that game, maybe it takes the pressure off Toney. I felt like maybe sometimes Toney felt like the pressure was all on him and he was trying to make too many, when he was trying to get the ball to him, it was making too big of a play for himself. I think he was trying to think ahead of the game and thinking that all the pressure was on him to make the catches. And if Kelce's out there, maybe he's not thinking that. Like I said, I'm surprised they didn't go to Toney right after that pick six with a quick screen pass to him to get him the ball. Because, like you said, when Kareem Hunt fumbled, they went right back to Hunt. It kind of
had to in that game, too. You know,
Right.
But he stepped up.
Exactly. And so I was just surprised they didn't try to get the ball back into Tony's hands right away. Like they did with Sky Moore last year. Sky Moore had a problem. Okay, let's get it right to him and shake it off.
But they dressed all seven receivers tonight. Maybe you wanted to see Justin Ross a little bit more. One catch, the 6 yards. To me, it's McKinnon, the one catch, 10 yards. It's a guy that had over 500 yards receiving last year. 9 touchdowns after the month of December as he was the go-to guy. I think he was the best signing in the offseason offensively by any team in the NFL. And I know he was with the Chiefs the year before, but he was still a free agent. He didn't actually come back to the Chiefs till June 14th of that year. But again, I'll go back to 2019. They had 6 different receivers leading the way the first 6 games of the year. Until that I could identify it and have a certain guy, which was Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce the rest of the way, because, you know, guys kind of found their roles. And again, the offensive line proved through the preseason, which can't put a lot of stock in the preseason, but Mahomes wasn't getting touched. He was not sacked tonight. They did a good job of protection. You know, they're going to give him time. The receivers have to give him separation, have to get themselves open and let him connect on the ball, because it proved tonight he can get. I know Detroit's not the best example of a defense that can do things. Last year, you look at Detroit as far as sacks were concerned, they were 18th in the league, only 39 sacks. Maybe he's different. Aiden Hutchinson, you know, this is a guy that's going to get his. That guy's a force on that defensive line. And Juwan, you know, was kind of stagger starting there. And I give him credit because he was doing whatever they weren't calling. If they're not going to call it, do it, man.
They're not going to call it. Be that slot receiver like Collinsworth said.
And time that snap, which a few times might have been early. I was worried about that almost every time. Did you ever worry about that when he takes that step back? It's like, oh, man, that's early. They're going to call that because they could have called it a lot.
They could have called it a lot, but I've seen it so many times now from last year. Like last year, I was like, man, that guy is moving really early against Frank Clark. And they wouldn't call it. So I'm like, all right, I guess the split second they're not seeing in real time like we are on the television is just to show. Now, they did see it that one time, but it was kind of obvious that last time on that last drive where it made it 4th and 25.
And I think you get to this point where it's expectations of this team because they've proven themselves to be this. They flipped the roster. Again, there's only four guys on this team that predate Mahomes. Butker, Winchester, Jones, and Kelsey. Two of them were specialists. Two didn't play tonight in Jones and Kelsey. Everybody else is new. But you're the champions. There's different expectations when you're with this team now. I think we look at this team maybe unfairly sometimes when they lose close games like this because we're, you know, expecting. And the one thing you don't want to be is Kansas basketball fans where you expect the Final Four every year if it's not or it's not a good year. But there's expectations. The window's still wide open for this team. And you do not want to play this team because they're going to give you their best effort almost. Even when they don't play well, they're going to be right there at the end. Because the Chiefs did not play well offensively tonight. And yet we're right there with the Detroit Lions that are going to be a playoff team this year.
Yeah. It's good. It's like, okay, make the playoffs. Like someone said, man, it's feeling weird to watch the Chiefs in the regular season. Where's the playoffs at? And you got to get there. And I think, obviously, the Chiefs will get there because of the division they're in and how they handled their division with their teams in it. But I will say this. I think the Lions might have found something with Aiden Hutchinson tonight. And what I mean by that is Aiden would move inside. And when he would go up against Trey Smith, he was beating Trey Smith. So I'll be curious to see what the Chargers might do. Maybe even the Raiders, if they move Bosa or Chandler inside and try to see if they can beat Smith on the inside and not go after the tackles.
It's a new trend we're seeing in the NFL. We saw it a lot through the draft. It was, especially when it came to defensive linemen, who can play on the inside and outside? Who can do both? Who's got the versatility? Because Spags loves that. It's why when Jones was so dominant on the inside, then all of a sudden they started moving the outside a little bit, and he wasn't as effective 2 years ago. Last year he was. Like, he really grabbed a hold of that, which is great because you want to create the confusion to the other quarterback on the other side. Like, all right, where's this guy lining up? Is Jones lining up inside or outside? You want to create that. Now, many of you did the same thing with San Francisco where he lined up in the inside and outside. And he's the guy that creates a lot of pressure. They have to manufacture pressure at times. You saw some safety blitzing tonight. Again, safeties haven't – or defensive backs haven't blitzed as much except for Spags. He leads the way since he's been the coordinator. But the one thing about this team is they need to turn in that bully on the block because they can't. They're the world champions. They wear the ring. And they're still world champions until somebody else wins it, right? They got to be that bully on the block because they're the ones that set the expectations. You got to beat the Kansas City Chiefs as the litmus test. It's where the Patriots were. They were the team the Chiefs were chasing. That's why Spags was brought in here because he's a Patriots killer. And he was brought in here to be the coordinator. Steelers are always the team the Chiefs respected. Never had a losing record with Mike Tomlin. But it was always either the Patriots and then there was Steelers a rung below. But it's expectations. Like when you draft this team, there's no training wheels. You're just expected to go in and play. When you get drafted, you have to go in and play. And you expect, like the Chiefs had five defensive backs playing the Super Bowl that were rookies. Chiefs didn't care you hit the wall, the rookie wall. You were expected to play. They needed you.
Yeah, and
they needed them to play. They needed seventh rounders like Jalen Watson. We had two interceptions in the postseason in two different games, three total in the year, and one of them won the Chargers that pick six that he had, won the game for him, and you needed that. They needed what Pacheco produced, but they've got to turn this in. Jacksonville, because the Chiefs will have extra rest, as we mentioned, because they're done. They can chill now. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they're off. Jags will have to play. The Chiefs can start doing Jag stuff tomorrow. They get to watch the Jags many times. They can watch them live if they want to, even though a lot of times they just go back and watch the film on them. But they get the extra rest. But, yeah, the Chiefs, they're not going to roll over ever, and it's not something they do. I mean, even not playing well, they're still right there at the end. They've got to clean things up, though. We know there's identifiable problems, and one of them is wide receivers because people were content with that. Like, hey, the Chiefs are fine at wide receiver. And my whole thing was all the time, are you sure? Are you sure? Because you hear about making Tony number wide receiver. Well, he's not wide receiver one. Not even close to it at this point. DeAndre Hopkins would have been. Like that, if you signed him, that would have been your wide receiver one. But again, I think it's time in the 2024 draft, and it's way too early to talk about that, but I'd love to see the Chiefs get skill positions for Patrick.
Yeah, I would. I think skill positions is a need. But I would also say, who would you think right now is the number one wide receiver on this team? Is it MVS?
At this point, yeah. That catch he made was sick.
I mean,
because he got drilled and he knew he was going to get hit. I love receivers that know they're going to get hit and still catch it anyway. But you see, you don't want to see alligator arms. Like, you don't want to see that at all. MVS did not have alligator arms. That was a tough guy move. That was a tough guy catch that he made.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't go to MVS more. And maybe
he's
it was
got
because
4.37 speed.
Right. And maybe because it was that the Lions were like, hey, we're going to take MVS away. Can you beat us with any of the other guys? You don't have Kelsey, so what are you going to do? And so maybe when, I know we keep saying it, but maybe when Kelsey comes back, maybe MVS will get that open. Because like you said, he's got that speed, and he's really good with the hands. He's shown it last year late in the season. He had that great touchdown catch in the AFC Championship, almost kind of like what he did tonight, where he's falling down catching the pass.
They had to have him step up because everybody else was hurt. Like, right, Tony was hurt, Juju was hurt, everybody was gone. And remember, Kelsey was a game-time decision in that Bengals game. Like, MVS had to step up. Here's the thing. It was last year in Green Bay, he had the fastest time. He was like over 22 miles an hour. He was the fastest catch and run that year in Green Bay. I mean, he's got 4.37 speed. He is 6'4". I think that we forget at times and that guy. But the Chiefs have got to find their roles. They've got guys that are just different roles. Rashee Rice, a different role. He's a tough guy. He's been compared to Sammy Watkins at times. But the Chiefs have got to figure out 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1. I mean, they've got to figure that out. I will contend, I think they go to quarterback sneak eventually. I don't think you're going to see it in the regular season. I think you could see it in an AFC title game or a Super Bowl, JT. But that is the play that teams are running to success, to push the quarterback. If it's Blake Bell, you put a quarterback, okay, just line up behind him and push him forward. Push the bulldozer forward. Get that yard. Be like Philadelphia. Don't have your quarterback leave the field and do it.
I just, at this point, and like tonight was a prime example. If you're going to do that little trickery play, why take the ball out of the best player on the field in the NFL's hands? Like, I would rather you throw the football than do a reverse jet sweep to Rashee Rice from Blake Bell. Let Mahomes sit back there, try to find someone, or use his legs to get the first down. Why take the ball out of your best player's hand?
Yeah, a couple guys that I thought played extremely well, JT, on defense. Mike Dana. The guy was noticeable.
Had the sack.
He did have the sack.
Big Macs.
He did create some pressure. Felix created, he had some nice little explosive pass rushes himself. And that was good to see. You know, they batted a few balls down from Jared Goff.
Yeah, Justin Reed had that one that we thought was going to
create a confusion.
That we thought was going to be like, hey, this is where we're going to go score. And it didn't happen. I also thought, like you said, Mike Dana played well. Karlaftis was getting his hands up a lot. But I thought McDuffie stood out. He forced that fumble in the red zone. And he was making some really good open field tackles as well.
Well, of course, Jones didn't play. I don't think it mattered, to be honest with you. Would it matter? Yeah, but there's a lot of times you're thinking, okay, even if he plays, they're still doing that kind of thing. I don't know if you saw that stat that I think ESPN had up in the offseason. With Chris Jones on the field, the Chiefs were first in NFL pressure percentage in the last 5 years. Without Chris Jones on the field, 28th in the NFL on pressure percentage. But they found a way at least to disrupt this offense. Because I thought Detroit, the way they moved the ball, that 14-play, that 8-minute drive where they got that first down on that fake punt, they were moving the ball down the field. But then I felt like Spags made the adjustments. And this defense, you know, not having Jones, not having a Minshew, I think Spags did all he could, man. I'll give the guy credit, man. I give Spags a ton of credit for what he did last year, manufacturing pass pressure. And again, when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, last year they were number 2 in sacks with 55. That 2019 team had 45 sacks. It's when they had 31 and 32, they did not win a Super Bowl. It is imperative to disrupt the defense. I just really wish that 3rd-and-short, and again, you're looking for perfection because this team's been so good. You want to see this. They've created different expectations because I think we have to view this team differently. I know it seems harsh at times the way you look at it, but they've kind of put themselves that by being in five straight AFC title games. They've kind of leveled that pressure on them that you just expect certain things. But I was always wondering, okay, what's going to happen if they don't dynamically go out there and win? But again, there's 17 games in the season. That was an NFC loss. I do think the Jacksonville game is important for seeding purposes, maybe at the end of the year.
Oh, it's huge.
With Cincinnati, Buffalo, and Jacksonville, when you play the Jets. The Chiefs play a ton of great quarterbacks this year.
If you beat the Jags, there's a little stretch right there where you can maybe pull off 4 to 5 wins back to back, and then you're looking at a 5-1 team. You go Jags, and you also have the Jets in there. You have the Bears, which I believe you should beat pretty well. And so I think there's a stretch. If you get past Jacksonville, you start 0-1, but then you reel off 4 to 5 wins, and we're not talking about that first week loss. And I know this is going to sound corny, but I think Andy Reid, in the back of his mind, is like actually kind of happy they lost tonight. Like, he's not going to admit it, but he's like, hey, now we have something I can like put as a bulletin board. Hey, we didn't play well. I'm gonna ride these guys. I want them to
get. I'd still rather take that couple point win and still prove things. I get your point, though.
Right. He's got something. And so, obviously, it's a tough loss. But to say I'm concerned, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm at like a 2. It's not that concerning to me just because of the way we lost. Like I said,
if the Chiefs played their A game and you lose,
yeah, if it was a shootout, I would be more concerned. This game was like, what do we expect from the Chiefs when we lose? We beat ourselves. Guess what? We beat ourselves and lost.
Well, I thought this would have been more of a shootout. You're thinking 34, 31, both teams in the 30s.
I predicted 37-27, so.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
You expect it because, again, you're talking about Detroit Lions, fourth in the NFL in total offense, fifth in points per game, eighth in passing offense, 11th in running offense, fourth in points per drive.
You gotta
the Chiefs
get their
were the number one offense by far. And defensively, Detroit was 32. They, you know what? They did some damage in the draft. Give them credit because they drafted well.
They drafted
well.
The
Chiefs typically draft well.
Right. And so I give credit to Detroit. Their defense played well. Also, I guess the one thing I would say if I was a Detroit fan is I'm upset that Gibbs didn't get more touches because Gibbs was explosive. I loved what I saw out of Jahmyr Gibbs, and they just were going to Montgomery over and over. And I thought they should have gave the ball to Gibbs sometimes.
I think we'll see his role expanded throughout the year, because running and catching out of the backfield, I think Jahmyr Gibbs has it. I mean, I think that they're and of course, Jameson Williams can't play at this point.
Exactly. He can't play. He's suspended, what, first 8 games?
He's suspended. What is it for Jameson Williams? Is it
it's 6 or 8.
What is he? It's the gambling suspension,
yep.
Wasn't it?
It's the
first 6 games.
6 games, okay. So he's like a Minshew.
Yeah, Minshew's out the first 6 games this year. We'll take a timeout. If you want to chime in, you can. 913-586-7610. Our final timeout of the night. We'll come back, look ahead for the Chiefs this season as JT and I kind of break down what lies ahead for the Kansas City Chiefs next.
Got a little time on my hands like a wristwatch. I don't got time for the brakes and a pit stop. Race through the gridlock, take it like Chris Rock. Right to the chin, still win. Heavy metals like Slipknot. Got the drive and I got tunnel vision. I just hit my stride the way I run the business. I've been making paper like I'm Dunder Mifflin. See the end game, I got Wonder Vision. Look, I don't ever bother with a critic. Hit him with a chronicle of Riddick. Boom, bottle full of Riddle and I hit him with a little bit of Riddle Me This. Riddle Me
And
that.
Welcome
my
back to your Head Pride postgame show. Jay Binkley, JT Noah producing the operation. Just a few minutes left here for game one for the Chiefs. And JT, I thought we waited a long time for this one. We waited a long time for game one. Waited a long time just to get to a training camp at St. Joe. Then almost said, all right, let's get to preseason. Then it was, all right, let's get preseason over and let's get to the regular season. Now we're here, and it's like, where did time go? But it does feel like, you know, at some part, I know the Chiefs want to turn the page after winning the Super Bowl and look forward, you know, the accolades, the partying, whatever, they want to kind of push that to the side because it's game time now. It's time to look forward. It's always tough to do that. But, yeah, because people look at them differently. People look at them as the world champs, and it's a tougher deal. But, you know, here they find themselves, and they've been able to handle this pressure. They have. Because they win that first Super Bowl with Mahomes against the Niners, then all of a sudden against the Bucks the next year, there the Chiefs were, and the Chiefs haven't gone away. They continue to get the best shot from all these other teams, and they've been able to withstand that, and I think that helps them grow.
Oh, yeah, and it helps when you have games like they had tonight. Last year you had that Colts game where everyone thought, oh, that's a cakewalk. No one was saying this was going to be a cakewalk tonight, but majority of people were thinking this was going to be a win, even without Jones and Kelce. And for them to lose was shocking for, I would say, 90% of the NFL fans. And so I think you have these games where the Chiefs slip up, and then they just bounce back, and they rattle off 5-6 wins, and everyone forgets about, oh, they lost to the Colts. Oh, they lost to the Lions. Early season games that lose, they lose because they beat themselves. The fans, true Chiefs fans, will talk about for days, but real fans, they just drop in. You're like, all right, let's move on. So I think it's going to be a thing, and the 10 days is going to work out well for the Chiefs, and they're going to come hungry, and they're going to go down to Jacksonville and Duval and take it to Doug Peterson, Dougie P.
Remember last year when Jacksonville's got two games overseas, right? And they still, you know, had that problem where they were tarping off the upper deck, and everybody was talking about what a great home field advantage they had and all this nonsense. You know, all these lifelong Jacksonville fans coming right back, they couldn't buy fans 2 years ago. How about all the Detroit fans that showed up here? I mean, you think that's and they were at Ford Field watching. Where were these people a couple years ago when this team was bad? I mean, this does scream new money fans. Hey, props to them. They've been longtime losers. You know what? They can celebrate tonight, but they still haven't done a damn thing in the NFL. They still got to prove themselves until they put a ring on their finger. I don't care.
No, they got to win a playoff game first. I mean, haven't won a playoff game since 92. So.
And I understand the fans are starving and want to do it, but man, where'd all these fans come out of the woodwork, man? Like cockroaches, they hide, and then all of a sudden they come out, right?
That's what they said about the Chiefs fans, too. So,
but Chiefs fans are always there, and that's the one thing about it. It's like the 90s, Arrowhead was packed. It was the destination to go to, but they weren't winning playoff games.
Oh, no.
Remember they went on a 20-year stretch where they didn't win a playoff game.
I remember wearing a brown sex to the brown sex over your head when you would go to Chiefs games because you didn't want to be recognized at the game.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, but people, you know, they kept winning and they kept doing things. And, you know, again, it's going to be fun. You're going to have fun this year. It's going to be frustrating at times because I guarantee tomorrow at the water cooler, you're going to be, oh, man, did you see all those drops by the receivers? That's a legitimate concern. I think that is a legitimate concern tonight is the wide receivers finding their role. And I don't know if you agree with me or not with the major league manager trying to figure out who's what inning guys. I think the Chiefs in the same situation figuring out, all right, do we need more Clyde, more Pacheco? All right, who's going to be the go-to guy? Do we need to give some Watson more time? Do we need to put Justin Ross more into this game and get him more into the swing of things? How do we get Sky Moore going? Do we need to concentrate on throwing the Rashee Rice more? I just think there's so much up in the air that these guys can seize positions and roles with this football team.
And there's a lot of openings. And like we said, this is wide open because nothing is set in stone on this offense for the playmakers besides the quarterback and tight end. And to be honest, the one player that stepped up tonight was a tight end. And I thought Noah Gray played really well with Kelce being out. Obviously, it didn't help us win the game because obviously we lost. But I'm saying he had some good plays out there where he made a catch and made a couple guys miss and got up the field. So I thought Noah Gray did a really good job of coming in and trying to be a tight end. He wasn't trying to be anyone. He wasn't trying to be Kelce. He was just trying to be Noah Gray, and it worked for him.
And then one thing about Noah there's plays that you liked in there, but man, it would be so much better if that was tight end number two, right? Like you had Kelce out there. You could run 12 personnel and two tight ends and a running back, and then see what he can do. But don't put all the onus on, like, you got to be Kelce. Like, you got to step in. You got to be Kelce for this team. I think that's tough. I think it's much easier for him and such a more viable weapon when he isn't, you know, tight end number one.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think he knows it that he's not a tight end number one right now. He's a tight end number two, and I think he wants to accept that role. We're going to learn a lot about this wide receiver group, but in particular, Kadarius Toney in the next week and two. How's he going to bounce back from this game? I think him going on the road is actually going to help him. The Chiefs going on the road thinks that you're going to go against the opponent's fans. You're not going to have your own fans at your going at you, because the fans were booing him at one point. So I think going on the road is going to be huge for him. Has a nice game in Jacksonville and comes back home, and maybe he gets an ovation from the crowd when he gets back home.
Yeah, that's something to be concerned about, because number one, I think that the priority will be the wide receivers, and two, short yardage. I think that is a huge thing for the Chiefs, what you're going to do in a short yardage situation. I think those are the two main things offensively the Chiefs need to do. And also, get this. We saw this last year with the running game where it would be slowed down for something. All of a sudden, they'd break out and run the ball better. And the Chiefs, actually, last year, their rush offense, you know, it's not what you want to see, but they were, what, 115.9 yards a game. There was only 90 yards rushing tonight. And clearly, you don't want to see your quarterback have 45 yards rushing, because that means the players weren't facilitating that. The running game was not. I always thought, again, the running game should be good when you got a quarterback like Mahomes. When you got a quarterback taking that much pressure off of the running game, that guy should step up a little bit more.
Yeah, and it just didn't happen tonight. It was maybe pressure was too big. Maybe it was something. Maybe they didn't feel comfortable. It could be this or that, and it could be a lot of things. I'm not here to put excuses or say anything. It was just a bad night overall. It was one of those nights where the drops were coming, and they weren't stopping anytime soon, and it just did not help boost anybody's confidence on the offense. And you could see the frustration happening with Mahomes over time in the fourth quarter.
You know, I think the other thing, just be the world champions. Understand you're going to get everybody's best shot. Be that team. You expect, you know, crisp things out of this team. This is you do not expect what you saw tonight from teams that are world champions. And again, they're in the right position. They get the right head coaches. You get the right quarterback. This team's going to be fine. I do believe this team will be fine.
Oh, I 100% agree. I think they're going to be fine. Yeah, this loss stinks. I wouldn't watch first things first, because Nick Wright ain't going to be happy. I wouldn't watch Skip Bayless. I wouldn't watch First Take with Stephen A. Smith. I wouldn't watch any of those, because they're going to blow this out of proportion and say, hey, the Chiefs are done. They're not winning the division. It's the Chargers division, or it's the Broncos division.
Yeah, there's going to be a serious attack on the Chiefs. Just get used to it as Chiefs fans. This is where you got to have the thick skin, because it's not going to be pleasant watching the NFL Network. It's got to be pleasant. You heard the talking heads. I thought Fesco in the morning's open was great. Is everybody downplaying the Chiefs? And now they think they're right, because last year they were wrong. Everybody downplayed the Chiefs, that they're not going to make the playoffs, they're not going to win the division, all that. They all were wrong, because the Chiefs won the Lombardi. Tyreek Hill left, and yet they still won everything. They're a resilient team. But yes, the hot takes will be coming out of the woodwork. But you know what? That's what makes it fun. And the Chiefs thrive on that kind of negative energy. But they're going to see it. They're going to see it. No matter when they flip on the TV, people are coming after the Chiefs. And that's what should make them the most dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Because now you got the bulletin board material. Okay. You want to say we're overrated, or we're going to have a down year, the Super Bowl hangover, we're going to be the next LA Rams and drop off. It's going to be great. I am truly not looking forward to it, but I'm also looking forward to all the receipts Mahomes, Kelsey have when they get back to the playoffs and hopefully host another Lombardi trophy.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, JT, when you think about this season, we'll meet again, buddy. We'll meet again and we'll talk about this, and hopefully greener pastures ahead for the Kansas City. I know it was pretty negative there at first, because, I mean, it was just negativity. Maybe you just expect different things. There was so many parts of this football team. I did not have fun watching this game. And, you know, there's going to be games that I did not have a ton of fun. It was frustrating to me. And I know it was frustrating to a lot of the fans as well. And, you know, certain situations, you look at the salary cap up against it. It does exist. It is reality. You can't always be good forever. The Chiefs have found a way to be good through the draft and drafting different players. But they'll get back on it. They have extra days rest against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Thanks to Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com, that joined us. Thanks to Josh Klingler, sideline reporter for the Kansas City Chiefs, that joined us. Fesco in the morning with B-Dub and Josh. And, of course, Bob Fesco comes your way at 5:58. Good night, and thanks for listening.